All righty. Good morning. How are you all doing this morning? Look at that big old choir back there. Isn't that cool? I tell you what, we have a pretty neat take on a Charles Wesley hymn this morning that we're going to be singing that's really, really beautiful. And for the tenors, very, very, very high. It's really beautiful. So I have a guest with me up here, my dear friend Mina. And I tell you what, if you don't know Mina, you need to get to know Mina because she will make you happy all of the time. And those of you that know Mina, you will know. I mean, I just can't not be happy around you.
Aww.
And it's just, that's really,
are you
really
listening?
She better listen. So, you know what? This is a really interesting time in the church. It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I hear that the nutty ladies are at it again. And you're one of them, right?
I am.
So, what'd your husband say is better to be nutty than what? It's not nice to be nuts, but it helps. Well, Mina, what did the church ladies, why did the church ladies, I can't talk. I've been eating those nuts.
Eel.
So why did the church ladies start selling pecans at church?
I don't know why.
Because they wanted to crack people up. We have to do it. I mean, you know you love it, right? The more nuts you buy, the less jokes I'll tell.
I like that.
So, Mina, what did the pastor say when the pecan table started to get a little rowdy? I mean, they were really rowdy out there because they were given free samples with chocolate-covered pecans and cashews.
I know that. What'd they say?
Well, the pastor said, please, let's keep it crackin' here and make sure that we have a celebration.
A celebration.
So, yeah. You're a good sport, Mina. Thank you so much. Oh, gosh. Wanted to just a couple of other things really, really quickly. Do want to invite you to have a look at some of the pecans. All of the proceeds from that, it goes to missions. In our area, in Lexington, here in the church, and around the world. So it's really, really a good cause to celebrate. They really do a wonderful job, and I'm so thankful for them. Also wanted to share with you that at either entrance, there's a white half piece of paper in there that's a sign-up for the potluck, and the potluck is next week, and we want to make sure to invite you to that. It's going to be really, really good, and I love potlucks, so I can't wait to have some of your all's food. It's going to be good. So it's next Sunday, 6 o'clock, and if you don't mind to sign up, that allows us to know how much chicken to buy. We don't want to run out of chicken. Also, in e-news this week, and I think you might see it on the church website as well, I wanted to just kind of let you know there's a wonderful opportunity for an all-church retreat. Anybody is invited. And welcome to come and sign up. It's going to be at a really nice, cabin is not the right word, lodge, thank you. A lodge at Red River Gorge, and it is glamping. It's really, really nice in a lodge. And it's for anybody that wants to attend. It's just for us to be together and to grow spiritually together, get to know people a little bit more in the church. I want to do that. The other thing that I want to share with you is I want to give a special welcome to Megan Talley. She's right over here, and she's with Nathaniel Mission. And she is, you know, we have such a strong relationship and partnership with Nathaniel Mission at Southern Hills. And we are so, so very proud of that relationship that we have and the opportunities that you give us to serve here in Lexington, Kentucky. So Megan's going to share a little bit about one of their ministries, and that'll be a little bit later on in the service. So I want to invite you to stand and greet one another and share the peace of Christ with each other. I want to invite you now to join me in prayer. Let's pray together. Jesus, we join together as a congregation here in this sanctuary and also online. And we just want to share with you how thankful we are for the gift of your Spirit in our life. And so, Jesus, as we come to listen to you and with expectant hearts, expect to hear from you and have you speak into our lives, Lord Jesus, move among us and help us to grow more deeply as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is our humble prayer as we join together now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Rise to me. This is a sacred space. I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, and let us remember that you shall have no other gods before me. Let us glorify only God and continually offer our thanks and praise. Let us always love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength.
Let us offer our praise and adoration to God, who loves us unconditionally.
And let us continually seek first the kingdom of God. As we worship, let us strive to seek God's kingdom
and to become more like Jesus.
Oh,
delights in your praise and adoration. Our Psalter lesson this morning reveals that God knows us inside and out. And guess what? God loves us. So let us read this Psalter responsively. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all together.
You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
As you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Mr. Brewer.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I've got a bag here, oh my goodness, and it's full of just some stuff. And these are, well, these are some things that sometimes people find really important. Maybe some people, like, maybe they want to be, like, cool and wear glasses and stuff, right? Can I put them on? Is that all right? All right, cool. Yeah. Some people, well, they like money, don't they? Some people like money, maybe a little more than they should. Yeah. Let's see, what else? Oh. Well, I don't think anybody in this audience is going to be happy about this one, but some people like sports. Uh-huh, yeah, I'm not from here, so my sport's a little bit different than yours, but go Bucks. And let's see, well, this is just a box, but where's that box from? Who knows that? Who's Amazon. Lots of people like all kinds of stuff, too, don't they? And they just buy things all the time, right? But this one's maybe a little nicer. I'm kind of a fan of my dog, and he needed some food, so I bought him some food. But what have I not put in my bag? We're missing something big out of here, aren't we? Yeah. I don't have room for God in my bag, do I? It is. I brought one up. I don't have room for God in my bag, do I? That's not good, is it? Maybe I should get rid of some of this stuff. What do you think? Yeah. Do you think maybe we should maybe make some room for God in our lives? Yeah. Well, I could definitely get rid of that Amazon box. Yeah, I could. But I like my dog. I think I want to keep him. He's okay. I think I can fit him in here maybe. We'll get rid of the Amazon box. I hate to, but maybe I'll get rid of that one too. I know every. And now, I probably should keep my wallet. Unfortunately, there's not much money in it though. But now I got room now? I did. I found some room. Do you know what we should always be doing in our lives? Making sure we've got room for God there, don't we? Yeah. We want to make sure that even with all the other things, and some of them are important, and some of them are not so important, that you leave room for God in your life, right? Yeah. Can you all pray with me this morning? God, thank you for being such a part of our lives and giving us the directions for how to keep you center to all of it, to keep us on a path that is filled with goodness, and love for you and for other people and for all of the things in this world. Amen. All right.
Intentional about trying to help our neighbors. So we do a lot of poverty intervention and prevention. Esperanza Club is a wraparound after school program for the kids at Cardinal Valley Elementary School.
I look forward to coming to Esperanza Club and meeting my friends here. It feels wonderful because if I'm really feeling down, I can always come and talk to an adult.
My favorite part of Esperanza Club is spending time with all my friends and all the teachers here. You can spend time learning about God and helping others.
Esperanza Club is really important to the Cardinal Valley community because we are about poverty prevention. Esperanza in Spanish means hope, and our desire is to help these kids develop hope. Dr. Ruby Payne, who's a poverty culture expert, says that there are two main ways that people can come out of the cycle of poverty. One of those ways is education, and another way is having a close, supportive relationship with someone who does not live in poverty. All kids need is one relationship with someone outside of the home to help them be an emotionally healthy adult and a functioning citizen. So we offer that to our kids and give them space to build relationships with adults who are safe, who know Jesus and can just share the love of Christ with kids, but also encourage them in little and big ways as we do life together in the afternoons.
To find a place where my kids can feel safe, they can be themselves, and the staff always meets them where they're at, is really made them blossom in ways that I couldn't imagine.
The volunteers who come day by day are just sharing hope.
I've seen the kids grow in their confidence. At the beginning of the year, many students didn't want to sing or they didn't want to participate, but now they're more and more confident to speak on their own and contribute.
During snack time, they eat in multi-level age groups with the same volunteers every day. We play games that are talking about how we feel, what hard emotions do we have.
Los jueves me siento feliz porque va mi profesor favorito y estoy muy feliz porque él siempre me hace reír. Cuando salimos al recreo, siempre me siento libre.
My favorite part of Esperanza is that we get to go outside.
And the kids go outside to play, which is one of their favorite things, where they can play soccer or jump rope. Then we offer enrichment classes every day, things like art and music.
My favorite part of Esperanza Club is when I come and I do cooking.
Something I learn is art and cooking.
Every day we try to close out with a time of prayer and listening, and they hear people praying for them. I believe that Christians can come together in an after-school program like Esperanza Club and offer a visible sign of hope and restoration to the community.
I look forward to coming here after school. It feels joyful.
Really exciting to go there every single day, and I feel really happy.
I'm glad I found this place. I love this place.
Good morning. I'm so thankful to come and share with you guys about Nathaniel Mission. So Nathaniel Mission is celebrating 85 years of ministry, and Southern Hills has been involved decades of serving in Nathaniel Mission, from our mission market that Bonnie is my like cheerleader for at Southern Hills. Our heart is to invest our lives into our neighbors, into our neighborhood. So we do that in a lot of different ways, and we serve a lot of different people because of that. We serve folks that are unhoused, that live right around the Versailles Road corridor. We serve neighbors who are critically poor, in need of extra hands, neighbors who are hungry, that I could say that the church shows up and feeds, and that Southern Hill shows up and does that work. We really see ourselves as an outpost of the kingdom of God in Lexington. We serve all of Fayette County, but we have targeted effort in the Carnal Valley neighborhood, the Versailles Road corridor, neighborhoods that no one else is meeting in an intentional way. And so I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for you shopping at the grocery store and picking up canned goods and bringing them here that Joan brings to us. I want to say thank you for praying for us. And then I just want to encourage you, if you're looking for a way to pour in to people who need hope, right? Kids that need hope, families that need hope, this is the perfect place to do that. So we are still looking for, we're really intentional about making sure that each kid has a prayer partner that's praying for them throughout the school year. So we're still looking for prayer partners. We're looking for people who would sponsor children, that would fund. You know, like nothing runs without just that financial back. And the way that we grow and the way that we feel led, we need more people to give. And we need more people to serve. So if you have a heart for children, we still need space. We still have space for people to come and serve. And if kids aren't your thing, maybe it is coming and praying with neighbors as they go to the food pantry or serving in our food pantry or serving a meal. So we are appreciative of our partnership here at Southern Hills and just overwhelmingly grateful that the church shows up in the midst of our neighbors because of Southern Hills. So thank you. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to me after the service. Thank you.
So much, Megan. We so appreciate you and all of the team that do the work that you do. I invite you now to turn in the bulletin and pray with me the prayer of confession. Dear God, we have known you since the time you led our ancestors from bondage to freedom. We have found no fault in your promise, yet we wander from the path that you have set and put our faith in other gods, which leads away from justice, compassion, and hospitality. We forsake your blessing. Forgive our faithlessness and our arrogance. Restore us to our right relationship with you and all those in our midst. Brothers and sisters, God is merciful and is slow to anger. God seeks the lost and extends the invitation again and again. God welcomes us when we turn to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. Jesus, we come here today in this holy place, this set-aside place, a place that brings us a lot of comfort and a lot of peace. And while the walls of this building are a symbol of the church that is located within, we do recall the words that you gave us last week, where we learned that each and every one of us is part of this holy sanctuary, your holy sanctuary. It is this visible manifestation of you and your kingdom in the world. And so today we turn once again to think about who we are and how we are influenced and to whom we are yoked to. Lord, it is so easy to become distracted. It is so easy to listen to the many, many voices that are shouting and declaring in our world. And yet, we are here to strengthen our spiritual muscles, to strengthen our ability to listen all the more clearly to your voice that brings healing and strength and peace. Jesus, our Wesleyan heritage reminds us that we are on a journey of sanctification, meaning that we are on a journey to become your holy people, to love more like you, to love people like you do, Jesus, to have our hearts to be more and more like yours. But we also know, Jesus, that there is social holiness as well. And that the way that we love people and the way that we present the kingdom of God into the world is so important as well. And so today, as we listen to Paul challenge us with a very difficult and challenging word, to be honest, Jesus, help us to listen to his wisdom that is speaking to us over 2,000 years of history. Help us to listen to the words that you spoke to Paul when he was complaining to you about challenges in his own life. Help us, Lord, to pray like you, to seek peace as you do. And so, Jesus, we once again step into the priestly role that you've called us to pray for the world. And we join you in those prayers. And we take a moment of quiet to just lift to you those persons who are on our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer. And for each and every one of these persons or situations that have been lifted up from this congregation to you, Jesus, we pray that you will continually pray for these persons. May your peace, healing, and your shepherding touch be upon them. And so now we join our hearts together and our voices as a symbol of your holy people as we pray now together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to invite our ushers to come forward now as we respond to God's grace with our tithes and offerings.
Joy of them too.
Jesus, our hearts are full of awe, wonder, and praise. And so, Lord, as we have given you the gift and the offering of our service, of our voices, of our worship, we too give you and respond to you with our tithes and offerings. Bless them, bless us, we pray, for your inbreaking kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And you may be seated.
Comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, and chapter 7, verse 1. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. As we continue on in the church's study that you all are doing in your Sunday school classes or small groups with the beautiful resistance. This week is that the chapter that you're reading this week is about holiness and about being a person of holiness, but also not only individually, but also corporately, in that we have a social holiness as well that we live into. And our work, for example, at Nathaniel Mission is an expression of that social holiness that we live into. And so Paul is talking to us about being watchful and careful about who we yoke ourselves to. And this reminds me a little bit of when I was a pastor over in Paintsville, Kentucky. If you don't know where that's at, you would be in good company. It's a small town over in eastern Kentucky. And I was visiting one of the parishioners that in the church there, and he was an old school farmer. And for many, many years, especially in his younger years, he actually did a lot of the plowing in his farm with a couple of mules. And I was like, really? And he said, oh yeah. He said, I didn't have money for those tractor things, and so this was the way to go. And he told me all kinds of things, including how to kind of motivate stubborn mules. And he was very inventive, let's just put it that way. But one of the things that he told me about was, he said, John, you have to have a really good yoke in order to plow a field good and straight. And I said, oh, really? Well, you know, I've heard of yokes, you know, seen pictures of them, but, you know, tell me more. And so he said, all right, come with me. And we went out to his farm, and he showed me this old yoke that had been in his family for quite a few generations. I think it actually dated to somewhere in the late 1800s. And boy, you could tell it. I mean, it was cracked. It was rusty. You could see where the yoke, the wood, had rubbed against the shoulders of his mules or whatever beast of burden he had used, and his father and grandfather and great-grandfather before him. And it was just well worn in. And he told me about how it was important to him, because when you yoked a couple of mules together, they were much stronger. The more you got more out of them together than they would be if you just plowed a field with them alone. They work together better as a team. And I've thought about that often, because he was so passionate about that and how he really did. He cared for his animals. He loved them. He talked about them really fondly when he was sharing with me about him. And that, as I was thinking today about Paul being communicating with us about being yoked and who we should be yoked to and who we shouldn't be yoked to as Christians, I was mindful of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 10. And in that particular piece of law there, it's really interesting. God tells them, you should not yoke an ox, or if another way we could translate would be a bull or a cow. You shall not yoke on one of those things right there, a bull or an ox to a donkey. And you probably are thinking, well, why not? And if you're not much into farming, like I'm very ignorant about a lot of farming, but appreciate it, but I wondered about that as too, and I started looking into it, and I learned all kinds of things. One of the things is that the research that I did was that it showed that when you do such a thing as pair a big old bull with a smaller donkey, it can be really hard because of the power imbalance between these two animals. One, the donkey is more slight. It's much weaker than that big, massive, strong hulk of a beast that a bull is or an ox. You can have this power imbalance, and that bull is going to move more quickly and push further and push harder. And it might even be that if you're not getting your G's and your haws really, really good, that some of you have been out there. You've heard about being in the field with a couple of mules. But that ox is going to pull or lean over into the side that ox is on. It's a little bit like driving a car and your front tires or your front wheels are not aligned really well, and your car always wants to drift off. It's a lot like that. If you could imagine trying to take these two big beasts and try and do farming with them. But the other thing, and I think this is even more so important, if you look at this, you can see that donkey is not necessarily all that happy, because it can be really hurtful to a donkey as well. They're being pulled and they're being yanked by that great big powerful ox. They might be a half step or two behind in gait all the time, and they could pull muscles, they can get arthritis in their shoulders, all kinds of awful things. And Paul knows this. For one, he is a Pharisee. He knows the law really, really well, and he's very much aware of this law that you shouldn't be plowing your fields with an ox and a donkey yoked together. But he also knows the reality of it too from living in an agrarian society. Paul had some dirt under his fingernails. He knew what it was like. He was a person of the people. And he uses this right here, this beautiful picture, as a metaphor for Christians of who we should not be yoked with. We have to be very careful about who we yoke ourselves with. Now, here's the fun question, all right? I'm going to stir the pot a little bit, all right? You ready? The question is who is he talking about? Who should we not be yoked with? Now, I said in first service, I'll say it again, every English translation is kind of a translator or a group of translators' best approach at trying to communicate what is being said in the language that the Bible was written in, or languages, but sometimes they miss the mark. I like the New Living Translation. It is a translation because it reads well from the pulpit and in worship, but this week it didn't really kind of hit the mark of accuracy that I really wanted to bring to you all. So I'm going to do a little bit of extra work with you explaining some of this text today. But the question, though, is very, very true. Who should we be wary of and are yoking? And often that's translated, or often it's preached and taught that we should make sure that we yoke ourselves in marriage to another Christian. You've heard that, right?
And of course, you could argue that there's an appeal to the Old Testament that you could make to do that argument. And of course, the Old Testament, what God was saying is I don't want you to marry outside of the borders of Israel. I want you to be one people. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul is actually involved in this rather long argument. It spans about 6 or 7 chapters in 2 Corinthians. And Paul is deeply, deeply concerned about this group of people in Corinth called the super apostles. Oh, well, they look very stern and very authoritative for sure. I don't know if I'd want to meet him in synagogue or in church at all. I mean, look at him. Ooh, for a brow. But he was worried about these folks who called themselves super apostles. And they were spiritual elites. They had the education. They could speak eloquently. And Paul, of course, he's a tent maker and a sail maker. He's more of a blue-collar worker. Paul is not known to be a really eloquent speaker at all. But boy, oh boy, look at them. They're eloquent, smart people. And they were trying to put down Paul and say, you all really need to follow us instead. We know better. But the problem with these super apostles is that they emphasized in their teaching worldly power and success. In fact, they were very much, and this is more academic language, but I'll tease it out in the podcast for you guys, but they were very much part of the imperial cult or the imperial belief system of Nero and Rome. And we need to be aligned as the church with the powers of Rome. And it's important, so, so important that we do this. And Paul is like, no, wait a minute. Does that align with the teachings of Jesus? But it's hard because these folks, they were really, really impressive. And so I love baseball. And Paul, I'm going to use an image of baseball. Paul swings for the fences here, okay? And he just kind of calls it out. And he says, and it doesn't really show up in the New Living Translation, but he says, look, I'm giving this a name. It's Belial. And this is a pretty scary picture, but that's exactly who Paul is talking about. It's another name for Satan. This is a bad dude. You do not want to hang out with him at the coffee shop. This is Christ's foe. And Paul is saying, you don't want to be aligned with people that are aligned with Belial. You don't want to align yourself with that guy. And to make it even more kind of getting down to brass tacks, Paul, I think, was referring specifically to Nero, Emperor Nero. And Nero, you all know your history, right? That guy was he was a maniac, right? He's a bad guy. Bad guy. And he's saying, don't hitch your wagon or your yoke to Satan himself. Now, here's the brilliance of Paul. That imagery that he uses of animals and donkeys and oxen, or he's alluding to, it all comes to bear, I think, right here. The ox, that strong animal that plows right ahead, is symbolic so much of the power of the world. And I think Paul is comparing that strength of that bull to that bullish Nero.
and Pax Romana, peace by the sword. And Jesus is the donkey whose power is expressed through weakness. And Paul very, very clearly says, he said, folks, you can't yoke Satan with Jesus. You just can't. One is going to go 180 degrees of the other. You can't yoke Satan with Jesus. In fact, you know, Jesus says very similar things to this in the Gospels. He teaches about that, right? Satan can't cast out Satan. He's talking about, he's talking with Pharisees there, and you're accusing me of being on Satan's team, but let me tell you, I'm not, because Satan isn't going to work against himself. And I think Paul is saying, we can't work against the enemy of our soul, or with the enemy of our soul. Brass tacks, Paul wants us to plow straight and true in our faith. And it's hard, isn't it? Because there is a lot of voices out there that speak a lot of different words to us in our life. Now, I'll pick on my profession since it's easy. There's a lot to pick on. And I have some clergy friends in here too that we can pick on ourselves really, really well. Now, there are books out there, and there are also not only books, but also influential materials and trendsetters that are out there that speak to pastors, and they're trying to help us to build the church and build the kingdom and do all of this stuff. And a lot of what they sometimes will say to us in some of their books or what have you is, you know what, you've got to build a following. You got to be everywhere out there in the world today. You've got to be on TikTok, and you've got to be on X, and you got to be on Instagram, and this, that, and the other. You got to have that. You got to be an influencer, and the more people that you have following you, the bigger the church that you have, the more people that are sitting in the pews, well, that gives you authority and power as a pastor to speak into the world. Now, that's a really interesting little statement, isn't it? Because you all see right through it, don't you? It's idolatry of fame and power. And I just want to just be honest with you all. I don't want nothing to do with that. Because probably one of the most beautiful sermons that I have heard in a while from a beautiful heart, Stu and I heard actually in Guatemala. You remember out there in the middle of that field, that pastor preaching under a little tin roof held up with a couple of tree limbs that he found out in the field that had fallen. And the joy of the Lord was his strength, and he was preaching to 10 people. That's faithfulness. And that's strength through weakness. Authority comes from who? Jesus. Yep, that's right. You know what he said, right? Authority comes from me, through me, from the Father, and empowered by the Spirit, and I'm going to give you the Spirit. And you should be thankful because I'm giving you the Spirit, because it will empower you to do these things. Authority comes from Jesus. Authority does not come from the powers of this world. And when we get that prickling sensation in our heart that we see that the power is coming from somewhere other than Jesus, we ought to be raising our hand and saying, wait a minute, something is wrong. We can discern, can't we? You and I know what a faithful apostle looks like and what a super apostle looks like. And the way we discern is by seeing where they draw their strength and their power. Is it through the world or is it through Jesus?
Now, here's where Paul is bringing this argument to a close. I encourage you to kind of read a little more broadly in 2 Corinthians this week. Go on to like chapter 12, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And here at the end, Paul returns back to those super apostles he's talking about. And he's talking about Jesus, this conversation, he's having this complaining conversation. And I've had those. Boy, oh boy, have I had those. And he's saying, Jesus, come on. I have this thorn in my side, this problem with my body, and I want to be healed from it. Can you do something? Can you help a guy out at least once? And Jesus says, and he quotes Jesus, he says that Jesus says, you know what, Paul? My grace is all that you need. And he also says to Paul, this is wonderful. Jesus said, my power works best in weakness. And that might be a little jarring to hear, because that's not what we see in the world or what we may think works. But that's the way of Jesus and the way of the cross. And we can say to ourselves, when I'm weak, I am strong because of the one who inhabits me. Paul goes on to say, you know what, church in Corinth? You know what, church of Southern Hills? Weakness doesn't make us inferior to the super apostles. Instead, it makes us faithful. I love the very, very last little bit of the passage that Marcia read for us today, because it's an invitation and it's an encouragement. And Paul is saying to us, he said, you know, I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage you to embrace Christ's way and cleanse ourselves of all worldly power and idolatry, things of the world, everything that can defile our body and our spirit, and let us work for holiness of heart. Let us love our God with all of our heart, and let us love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us love others, our neighbors, as God loves them. And that can be hard. Definitely sometimes I have my moments too. But that also impacts us in how we do things in the world, like Nathaniel Mission, because we believe that we also live our life out in holiness by serving others as Christ did. And so, brothers and sisters, Paul encourages us this morning to yoke ourselves with Jesus. And when you do, you'll always plow straight ahead. I want to invite you to stand for our closing hymn. It's Jesus, Thine All Victorious Love. Let's stand and sing it together. Brothers and sisters, I pray that as we go from this place, you will reflect upon that sacred fire that burns within our heart, that is empowered and emblazoned by the Spirit of Christ that is within us. That as it burns away all of the impurities of our life and helps us to be a more holy people, that as you go into the world, the glow of the joy of the Lord, who is your strength, will show in you, and you will be a beacon of light and hope because of Jesus, the one who empowers you for ministry. God bless you all, and may you have a wonderful week, and may you feel the peace of Christ in your heart. Amen.